We are bringing back the Lombardi Trophy to Philadelphia.
The greatest fans of the world have their Super Bowl.
So what?
When I said I had guests on the British Eagles podcast this week, I wasn't lying, and I'm joined now by Hollis Thomas. Hollis, thank you very much for joining us.
I appreciate you for having me. Thank you.
So, Hollis, for those of the Eagles fans who maybe started following the Eagles after the sort of 2006 period, talk to me about your time with the Eagles.
The time with the Eagles or the time when they traded me?
Time with the Eagles.
Yeah, with the Eagles. I started with the Eagles in 1996. I was an undrafted free agent. Ray Rose was the coach then. My first year there, I went to the playoffs. We lost to actually San Francisco in the wild card round, which actually was new to me. I was 20 at the time, turning 21. It was just like kind of like growing up, becoming a man. It was like the very first playoff game. Jeffrey Osborne, I don't know if you remember who Jeffrey Osborne is, the singer. He sang the national anthem at my first playoff game, which was awesome. It would have been more awesome had we won, but we ended up losing that game. But it was like my first, you know, the first time being in the playoffs. And I thought it was cool as a rookie to be able to come in and go right to the playoffs. And I was actually starting that year too, so.
Talk to me as the years went on under Andy Reid and Jim Johnson and what that was like.
Well, you know, as you know, during the Ray Rhodes era, it kind of quickly diminished, and we ended up getting Andy Reid next, and Andy Reid brought in Jim Johnson with him. With Jim Johnson, he brought a coach named Tommy Brazier, who was a defensive line coach who actually taught me a tremendous amount about being a defensive line, just being a professional in general, and being able to have some longevity in my career. So he pretty much taught me how to break down film, how to look for different integral parts of my opponent, and just basically how to break my opponent down and to be able to kick his ass at any waking moment. So,
talk to me about the other defensive linemen that you played with for the Eagles during that period, and who stands out for you.
Well, my best friend is Hugh Douglas, but I've played with over 100 different defensive linemen. While I was with the Eagles, I didn't even know that until one of the media people alerted me that I played with over 100 different defensive linemen. But people that stick out to me is Corey Simon, Hugh Douglas, Brandon Whiting, Javon Kurz, Derek Burgess. These are a lot of guys that went to the Super Bowl with me. Paul Grass Manis. It's just like a plethora of guys that I've played with, and been fortunate to play with William Fuller, who's when I was a rookie, he taught me a lot of stuff that I know now. Mike Mamula, Greg Jefferson, Rhett Hall, Andy Harmon. Those guys were like coming in the league and being in when I came in. There was William Fuller, Andy Harmon, Rhett Hall. Then there was Mike Mamula and Mark Gunn. And there was a bunch of offensive linemen that also helped me out. Offensive linemen that were older than me, and also older players like Riley McKenzie, who's actually his twin brother, is actually the GM of the Oakland Raiders. That's actually identical twin brother. So between him and Guy McIntyre, Richard Cooper, Steve Wallace, you see all those guys, and a lot of those guys have won championships to that point, and they give you just like. Like just how to be a pro. That's the best way to describe it. They taught me how to be a pro and never be above asking a question, or never put yourself above the team.
So, talk to me about the playoff appearances with the Eagles when that Super Bowl run.
Which is, you know, at a point in my career, it became like the norm to go to the playoffs. So it was, I actually, up to that point, I was not healthy for the first three championship runs. I was either got hurt during the season, or something happened. So, and it was myself and Derek Burgess. That was the funny part, because if he got hurt, then I got hurt. Or if I got hurt, then he got hurt. So neither one of us was healthy. So we were both healthy coming up on the Super Bowl run. So we both came back, and we both just made it a point to make sure our presence was felt, because it was like when you go to the playoffs, if you can run the ball and stop the run, you know, you're gonna make it far. And I always felt like if you don't, a lot of times you feel like a guy who you pull from somebody else's team will be good enough to take your place. It's like, but it's kind of different when that guy doesn't know your system, And that's, and a lot of times when I was looking at it, it wasn't just that I was part of the team that had to be made to the Super Bowl. It was the fact that I had been there and I know the system. I knew the guys that I was playing with. And it's like when you get that and you combine that and you combine the familiarity with the defense, that's the key to get to the next level. And I think that's what we had going into that last year, going to actually make it to the Super Bowl. That's what we had. We had that continuity, that thing where all of us knew the system. We played off each other. We got Jeremiah Trotter back. We was back. We was a team. Yeah, we were solid.
What do you remember from that Super Bowl?
I remember the Super Bowl. I do remember kicking the Patriots' ass coming out of the gate at first. But then I do remember it seemed like they were in a huddle that second half. I do remember that. The real first thing I remember is seeing the Bush and Bill Clinton out of the coin toss, right at the kickoff where all the flash bulbs were going off. That was like the most exhilarating thing that I think that I've ever happened in my life. It was almost close to sex. That's as close thing you said, because you see all those flash bulbs going off and everybody was watching you. And then the other thing is it's a snippet going around that if you look up the Super Bowl, it's just my close up, and it's a close up of me on the TV, and I give them the people's eyebrow. I remember that, and it just playing in the game. I try to give my all anytime I play, and that's pretty much it.
Is that the highlight of your career, going to the Super Bowl?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, but in the NFC Championship game, hitting Vic and hit him on the goal line to send us hitting Vic on the goal line to help send us to the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
but that was like one of the pinnacles of my career. Between that and it's like a lot of people don't want to hear the Saint theme because we reopened the dome. I never realized how much that meant to actually the people of New Orleans. And between those two moments, mainly the Eagles moment first, because I felt like I became a man as an Eagle. It's like I went from being a young kid, a man child, to becoming a real man in Philadelphia.
What's it like playing for those fans in Philadelphia?
As you just heard them come in. It's the one city that travels well. The fans are everywhere. Obviously, you're all the way over here. How did you become a fan?
I was just getting into the sport. Absolutely loved it. Needed a team to follow, and I just loved the way Donovan McNabb played.
Ah, I see.
So, yeah, McNabb's the reason I'm an Eagles fan, and I don't regret it ever since.
Yeah. You couple that with the way that everybody travels. You see a bunch of Eagles fans over here. It's like I feel like they're the best in the world, the best fan base known to man. And they let you, I think the main reason why I like the Eagles fans is they let you know if you're doing good or if you're doing bad. So if you stink, they're gonna let you know. If you're good, they're gonna let you know. And they're gonna let you know when you're playing good and when you're playing bad. And I've always loved it about a fan base where they come in and they don't just sugarcoat everything and just tell you when you're doing good. It's like they stick with you through thick and thin. I think that's the main reason too. It's like because you can look at all the memes and stuff online. It's like but when the dust settles, those same people are saying even good or bad, I still bleed green. So you can't. It's like family.
Your cheesesteaks arrived. Yes. I'm not going to keep you too much longer.
They do look tender and delicious.
Talk to me about, very briefly, what you're up to now and how people can follow you on social media.
Well, you can follow me on the Real Tank, DA Real Tank 78 on Twitter. And then I'm on Instagram. I'm cool motherfucking, spelled KEWLMF 78. You follow me on there, and I'm currently a radio personality on WIP 94.1 FM, Philadelphia WIP. I'm on morning shows, and I'm on Saturday and Sunday for the most part, and I'm always around the Philadelphia area doing something with the Eagles.
Fantastic. Hollis, you're one of the players that were there anchoring that defensive line as I started following the team. It's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you, and thank you very much, and I will let you get to that cheesesteak now.
Appreciate you much. Thank you
very much.